Colossians chapter 3 verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Just flip back for a moment to Romans chapter 9, verse 31. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it's written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Verse 30 says, What shall we say then, that the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith? So then, if we have righteousness by faith, which is a gift from God, by grace are we saved through faith, not of works. Because none of us, as Rowan said, deserve it. But by faith we receive it. If then we were raised with Christ, and we believe we were crucified with Christ and raised with him, seek those things which are above, where you are seated, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. You remember I've been, in months past, harping on Philippians chapter 4, on fixing your thoughts on things that are pure and lovely and of a good report, not being anxious for anything, but in everything with thanksgiving, committing our cares to the Lord, and then deliberately after that, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ Jesus, and setting our minds on things above, things that are pure and lovely and of a good report. That's just not a good idea. This is what you must do to be able to walk in peace. Both scriptures in Philippians 4 and here in Colossians 3 join the setting your mind on things above with the attainment of peace. Peace comes as you take every thought captive and put it on Christ, on things above. Verse 2, the word there that says set your mind is phroneo in the Greek, which means to entertain, to intensely interest oneself with. It's interesting, you know, what do you entertain your brain with? Your brain goes all the time, it's always on, even when you're asleep, you're dreaming. But what do you entertain in your brain? What do you entertain? What thoughts are you thinking? The scripture tells us when we have been raised with Christ, we have power to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ Jesus, that we have the mind of Christ. And we need to be really careful what we entertain, what we set our minds on and keep them set on. Romans 12:2 says, Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. And it might be a little different to what you think. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Our minds being renewed. The scripture wouldn't say that our minds need to be renewed if it wasn't a process that we have to be actively and willingly involved with. This passivity that Jackie was talking about, if you just passively take in whatever's going, sit down on the couch, flip on the TV, and just receive whatever they want to tell you, whatever you want to. If you just passively receive it, what you are doing is you are forfeiting your responsibility as one who is seated in heavenly places with Christ. And you are taking up precious time when the Holy Ghost wants to speak to you and refresh you, help you, encourage you. I've learned that trusting what he says here and that God is smarter than me and he knows how to make me happier than I know how to make me happier. I used to think sometimes, oh, I just need to chill out, God. I just need like DVD and pizza, you know. And afterwards, I wouldn't feel any better. But I would have thought, you know, well, I just need this, Lord. And I've learned that when I ask him, Lord, what do you want to do? He's not some dictator that says, you've got to do this, pray for the nations 24-7, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I used to think that's what would happen. It's like, oh, I've got to get super spiritual and super freaky if I do that. But God knows how even to let me relax. He's got a more edifying way for me to relax than I would come up with. He's got a better way for me to have joy and peace. He knows how to refresh me better than I know how to be refreshed. And so we can trust God, but I'm not trying to sell you some good idea. This is the Bible. And when the saints start to give their minds as part of their lives to the Lordship of Christ Jesus, we can begin to walk in the fullness of all that He has for us. God wants to play out His God ideas. If you're filling it with scenes from movies and stuff, when you get quiet, those same scenes are going to just replay. Good, bad, or ugly, whatever they are, they're just going to replay. But they're not the best thing that God has for you. God wants to occupy your mind. God wants to speak God ideas. Ideas for business, ideas for all sorts of things. I find God just plays out scenarios in my mind. That's what happened with the children. One night God just showed me, just as I was going off to sleep, just played it out in my mind, showed me what to do, exactly what to do. Just, I want the children to prophesy. And that, just get Julie and Jesse up and ask them to pray in tongues and just ask the Lord if there's anyone there. And since then, now, all the children want to prophesy and move in words of knowledge and people are getting healed and it's so awesome. And I wouldn't have thought of that. I was trying to work out who could I get to be a Sunday school teacher. But God's ways are much higher than my ways, praise God. And since that time, my girls have been saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost and moving in prophecy and words of knowledge. It's just like, yay, God. And your kids too. And it's going to happen more, which is just wonderful. It's so, they've got such childlike faith, praise the Lord. But we need to make room. God's got God ideas all the time that He wants to bring to you. He wants to show you what tomorrow can look like. He wants to show you ahead of time. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. How did He see? His mind was set on things above. It's already happening up there. He goes, oh, okay, that's great. I'll do that. It's great. It's wonderful. I ask, what do you want to do in the meeting? And God will play it out. He'll show me people who are going to be healed and He'll give me specifics about it. Sometimes I don't ask because my mind gets boggled with all the details and I wait till I get here because it's like otherwise I can't contain it all. I used to do that with prophecy. I'd start to be asking the Lord for words when I was traveling with another ministry when I was just young and I knew I'd be asked up to begin to prophesy and I'd be asking the Holy Spirit in the worship, oh God, give me a word for this person. And I'd start to get like 6 and 7 words with all these details and then my poor little brain couldn't keep it all and I'd get up and I'd forget to give something and then I'd have to... Oh. And finally, one day I was in the worship and the Lord said, just worship me. Trust me, when the time comes, I'll tell you what to say. And it took all the pressure off. Praise the Lord. But anyway, we need to have our minds renewed by the washing of the Word. If you have a look in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25... It says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. You want your husband to love you more? Send him along to the men's prayer meeting. No, let him spend time in the presence of God. Trust the Lord for that. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word. Jesus, who's chosen you, picked you, is cleansing you, wants to cleanse you with the washing, with water, with the Word, the water of the Word. He wants to wash your brain. And so by spending time feeding on good testimonies, feeding on good stuff, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, feeding on good messages and on good fellowship where you're talking about the things of God, when you're spending time in the Word of God. I like to keep a Bible everywhere. Tom reads to me every night, but his Bible disappears every day because he gets cranky with me because at the end of the night I say, okay, we're going to read. He says, I would. There's no Bible there. Because we got like 6 or 7 Bibles, but I always take the one that's handy beside the bed. And they're all over the house because when I have a cup of tea or we can go to the bathroom or wherever he might be, you can say that in Australia. Australians don't get upset. I got that from Debbie. But just taking every opportunity. In the car, I've got it. I've got a Bible on my organizer. Just so I'm waiting in line, I can read the word. I've got the apostolic prayers on my iPod. So I flip through them while I'm standing waiting in the line for groceries, and I just pray it out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're causing us to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. Thank you, Lord. You're causing the glory gathering and everyone there, Lord God, to be one, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And I feed on the word of God. And it's a good thing. And that's not just for those professional Christians. I don't do that because I'm a preacher. I'm doing that because I've got no real choice in that I have chosen to be crucified with Christ. Therefore, part of that choosing to be a follower of Christ, to be crucified and raised with Christ, is to have my mind renewed. I am destined to have more and more and more encounters with God. I am destined to become conformed into His image more and more and more because I've chosen this, and that's where this path leads. And this is where this path leads for you. If you've chosen to follow Him, God is going to narrow it out and narrow it out. And I'm sorry, and not sorry, it's a good thing. But that's what's going to happen. You're going to become obsessed. You're going to become peculiar, the Bible says. A peculiar people. But you know what? God loves it and God will use you. Hallelujah. You can leave now if you want to. Hallelujah. Be a good idea not to. God wants us to have our minds and hearts renewed by the washing of the word from those things that are corrupt. But setting our minds and keeping them set, as the Amplified Bible says, set your mind and keep it set on things that are above. In doing that, we can't then just continually be recontaminating our minds. And what we entertain is what will contaminate or wash our minds. There's only two ways, His way or your way. You know, the way of the kingdom or the way of the world. And if you are having your mind washed, but then you're continually feeding on things that feed the flesh, you're just continually recontaminating your mind. You're going to be such a frustrated Christian. You can't continue to feed on pornography and not reap corruption. You can't continue to think about things that people have done against you and not reap bitterness. It's just the way it goes. We can't be recontaminating our minds as He washes them. There's the old chorus that, be careful little eyes what you see, be careful little ears what you hear. There's a great wisdom in that. We have to be very careful. We need to guard our hearts with all diligence. Going on in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, lust for forbidden things, evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. We need to take every thought captive. And it's up to us to put these acts and these thoughts to death. It says, you put them to death. You put them to death. It says right there, therefore, put to death these things. That means you can't feed it. You can't indulge in these things without it contaminating you. Verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. There's no room for coarse joking in the kingdom. Don't lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with each other and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and the peace of God. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. this passage of scripture went through my brain this week. Therefore, as God's chosen people, it was an old kid's song, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive any grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And I had this whole passage of scripture memorized just from this song. And it came to me at a really important time. Because right at that moment, I was beginning to set my mind on something that wasn't above. Tom came home and he said, you'll never believe who I heard from today. And when he told me, my mouth just about hit the floor. And it was somebody from many years ago that had, we'd been really, really hurt. And I was speechless when I heard. And then I found out, we're probably going to see this person soon. I was more speechless. I thought, oh. And then I heard that hit hard times and I thought, oh. And then my mind began to go through and replay what had happened. Something I hadn't thought of for years and years. What had happened? The things that had been said, the things that had been done. Then I began to think what I'd like to say to them. Oh, you know, how I'd like to show them, you know, that the grace of God's on my life. God's giving me success. God's favoring me despite what you said. And it started to get really ugly. And then this song started going through my brain. And I realized, when you don't set your mind on things above, you open a door for self-righteousness, for pride, for arrogance, for bitterness, for hate, and for deception, which is the root of all of that. And I began to meditate on this. I went and looked it up. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. It's a simple message, but it is so true. How has God forgiven us? God has forgiven us and forgotten our sin. And when God forgives us, he casts our sin into the sea of his forgetfulness and never brings it up again. Hebrews 8:12 says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Then he says, forgive as I forgave you. That means remember it no more. That means let it go and don't think of it again. I had forgiven these people, but by beginning to think about the circumstance again and what I might say to them when I see them, I began to get back into unforgiveness. And what I'd been set free from was coming back into me because I was opening a door by entertaining the thought. And it's the same thing that we can do in a myriad of circumstances. That's why the scripture gives us clear guidelines. Test it. If it's not pure, lovely, and of a good report, throw it out. Swat it like a mosquito and say, devil, I'm not going there. And replace it with something pure and lovely. Deliberately, it's a fight. It's a battle for your headspace. And it is so important because if you don't take it captive and replace it with the thoughts of God, deliberately setting your mind on things above, what you will do is you will be deceived. The deceiver will come in and he will trap you. Anyone know what I'm talking about? And we must forgive this way in order to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Recalling injustices is a guaranteed way of losing your peace. And it opens the door to all sorts of selfish sins. Self-pity, self-righteousness, selfishness. Thoughts of, I'm hard done by, wasn't that terrible? Ooh, they'll be ashamed of themselves now. Oh, and then pride comes before a fall. You've got to quickly humble yourself when you start having thoughts like that. God, but for the grace of God, but for the grace of God, there go I, you know. And if God has forgiven me my sin, how dare I hold anyone's sin against them? He says, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. So we got to let go and refuse to entertain it. Guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of it flows the wellsprings of life. We've got to be very careful not to entertain the accuser of the brethren. Helps us to judge people, or helps us to accuse ourselves. The accuser of the brethren loves to come and remind you of past sins. And you need to be very careful that you don't get deceived into thinking it's humility to be continually remembering your sin. God has forgiven you, and he's parted your sin as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? They can never find each other. Your sins can never catch up with you. When they are confessed and repented, they can never catch up with you. No matter how bad it was, it's gone. It's forgotten. And the Lord says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. If he has forgiven you, you need to forgive yourself. You need to be careful not to be dwelling on things that are carnal. Sometimes people think, if I remind myself of my sin, then I can have more mercy. Well, perhaps, but you'll also have condemnation. And you'll also open the door to shame in your own life. When Adam and Eve sinned, the first thing they did was hid in the garden. They hid from God. It's hard to come into the presence of God when you feel guilty, when you feel ashamed. We come before the throne of grace with boldness simply because we believe the good news of the gospel, the good news that is so good so many have trouble believing it, that he has actually completely blotted my sin out. And we've been justified just as if we'd never sinned. Just as if it had never happened. Yet our flesh often likes to flail ourselves. Oh, you wicked, miserable sinner. And we think that that's keeping us humble. But what that is simply unbelief. And it flies in the face of what the Lord is telling you to do. He's telling you to think on things that are above. Is your sin above? Is it in heaven? Doesn't belong in your brain. Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it of a good report? Doesn't belong in your brain. So when the enemy comes, you did this, you did that, remember. Don't go, oh yes, God, you're reminding me of my sin. I've got to remember, I'm so humble. Don't do that. You go, not going there, devil. Think on things that are above. Oh, God, you chose me. You chose me when I didn't deserve to be chosen. You chose me. You forgave me. How awesome, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Jesus. And you set your mind. You refuse to entertain it. Set your mind. Entertain only that which is pure and lovely and of a good report. Am I speaking the truth here? Is this the Bible? Psalm 103, verse 11. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Thinking about things that God's forgiven and things that are under the blood is both foolish and fleshly. And it feeds condemnation and it feeds shame and it makes you want to hide your light instead of joyfully sharing it and shining the light. Number of people I've said, come on, let's pray for this sick person. And they go, oh, you go, I'm not in the right place yet. Well, you're either in the kingdom or you're out. You're either clean or you're dirty. You're either forgiven or you're not. You don't get to earn the white robes. By grace are you saved through faith. You got to dare to believe that he is better than you could imagine, that he's more merciful than you can understand. Is that true? When we entertain these things, it robs us of our confidence. Hebrews 4:16 tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and to help in time of need. As I often say, you know, you have to turn the light on to dispel darkness. You can't get the darkness out before the light comes in. As you come to God and say, help, he deals with all the stuff. You say, God, help me, set me free, I'm sorry, help me. God's light and his presence floods and fills you, and light dispels darkness. You and yourself and your own strength can't shovel out darkness. You can try as hard as you like, and there's a lot of people who do it. Martin Luther tried to do it. He would spend times in the snow and almost freeze to death to try and, you know, gain righteousness and feel forgiven, but it never happened for him until he got the revelation: the just shall live by faith. That's the good news. We must believe. Do you believe you're saved? You'd say, oh, of course I believe I'm saved if you've been born again. But if you believe you're saved, that means your sins are just as if they never happened. And you need to have faith in that. Amen? Galatians 6 talks about sowing to the flesh and sowing to the spirit. Verse 7 says, don't be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. You sow to the flesh by entertaining fleshly things, by entertaining and thinking about. Entertain, same word there. Entertain, set your mind, set and keep it set. Entertain. You feed the flesh, you sow to the flesh by entertaining anything that is not from above, that is not pure and lovely and of a good report. You go, well, hang on, that's getting a bit overboard. Can't I just think about normal things? What I mean is that as you go about your daily work, as you go about the things that you do through the day, instead of having the things of the world as the focus, you develop an awareness, a consciousness of the Holy Spirit with you. Like Paul prayed, that we may know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, faith in his forgiveness, the love of God, which casts out all fear, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Just being aware, okay, yes, I have to think about driving now, but I'm aware that you're with me, Holy Spirit, that you give your angels charge over me to guard me in all my ways. As I'm trying to get across the road, and I'm thinking, often in the school car park, it's quite busy, and I stand there with all the cars piling behind me, and I start to say, oh, come on, stop, let me across. And Joseph will come from the back seat and say, just ask God, Mummy. And every time I do, suddenly it opens up and I go through. And we just need to be aware all the time, just continually speaking to the Holy Ghost, talking to him, developing fellowship with him. In doing that, you will have him as your priority, him as your mind set there, and then you can do the things that you need to do, but with him as your focus. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you sow to the flesh and you dwell on past sins, you can't avoid reaping condemnation. It's as simple as that. If you think about how stupid you were, you think about what you shouldn't have said, and I used to do this. I'd go home, we'd drive home, and I'd say, did I say anything I shouldn't have said? Oh, I probably shouldn't have said that. Oh, I probably shouldn't have said that. And I'd think about it, and then I'd feel like such an idiot. I'd think, oh, they must think I'm so stupid, because I was so insecure, and Tom would just roll his eyes. But when you think about that, what you reap is fleshly stuff that keeps you from wanting to just shine your light with the confidence that comes from God. Confidence is not a dirty word. The scripture says that he is our confidence. You have been my confidence from my youth. Hallelujah. God wants a people who are confident, not in their own ability, but in the fact that, hey, there is nothing that you can throw at me. Nothing can stick because it's all been blotted out. I'm forgiven. I love Pastor Karen here. She preached a message last year. I just couldn't help myself. Every time she'd say it, I'd crack up because the Holy Ghost was there. And it was just the boldness to step out and say it in front of all these pastors. She'd get up and say, she says, I don't sin anymore. We'd be all like, oh, what's this? She said it over and over again. I don't sin anymore. I think, what on earth is this woman? But then I could sense the anointing. I thought, I'm going to try and listen to what she has to say. That sounds pretty arrogant. I don't sin anymore. So I might have sinned yesterday, but that's none of your business. I don't sin anymore. I might have sinned at lunchtime, but that's none of your business because I don't sin anymore. And it shook me up. I haven't forgotten it. Because she just would confess with her mouth, that's not how I am anymore. No, I don't do that anymore. I don't sin anymore. And the more she says it, the more beautifully she glows with the presence of God. It's not an she's not doing it out of an arrogant statement, though I thought, I've got to admit, I thought it was pretty weird. That's right. That's exactly right. We got to remember who we are, that we're actually not that person who sins. We're now walking in the Spirit, and he who walks in the Spirit will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. They don't sin anymore. I like it. It was good. Revelation. Stirred up that meeting. Hallelujah. Bless God. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. If we sow to the Spirit, the scripture says in Galatians 6, we will reap everlasting life. We sow to the Spirit by setting our minds on things above, setting our minds on things that are pure and lovely. We sow to the Spirit by letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly, washing us with the Word. Hallelujah. Richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Thanksgiving. When you get together, you know, we're not supposed to look like the world. We're supposed to be a peculiar people. And God is trying to, graciously, he's bringing us out of the world that we might be separate, yet in the world, but not of it. Not doing what everybody else does, but when we get together to fellowship, refusing to gossip, refusing to get negative, refusing to speak about things that are ugly, but deliberately speaking about things that are thanksgiving, pure and lovely, praiseworthy, noble, good things. Not just when we're having coffee here at the Glory Gathering, but tomorrow and all the time, speaking out these things. Hallelujah. This is what the bride of Christ looks like. This is what we need to sow to the Spirit in order, and we need to feed on the Word, letting it dwell in us richly, and we need to encourage each other, being thankful and letting the praises of God fill our mouths, because this is what Jesus wants his bride to look like. You know, he's called us to be a bride pure and spotless. And he's telling us this is what that bride looks like. This is what she talks. This is what she says. This is what she thinks about. The bride of Christ, which is us, the believers. He's wanting to wash you with the washing of the water of the Word. He's wanting to renew your mind. He's wanting to transform you from glory to glory. He's wanting you to shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. He's wanting you to put off the old works of the flesh and refuse to go there, not doing them and then getting condemned about it, but when we sin, confessing our sins and believing by faith that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And though you might have sinned as you walked in the door, if you've confessed it and you've believed by faith that you're forgiven, you can stop the mouth of the accuser and you can shine like a star in the universe and not be a hypocrite. The enemy loves to label you a hypocrite. You're not a hypocrite if you have faith to believe that he has forgiven me. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, as you begin to deliberately walk this way, people are going to be attracted like moths to a flame. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Is that right? Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord. Let it dwell in us richly. Lord, transform our minds with the renew our minds with the washing of the word, Lord. I ask, Holy Ghost, that you'd speak to your people, Lord, that you'd encourage them, that you'd help them. Lord, I'm asking that you would transform us, Lord, in our lives and our lifestyles, that we would set our minds on things that are above, things that are pure and lovely and of a good report, that we would refuse to entertain the accuser of the brethren. Lord, I'm asking, Father, for your release, Lord, tonight for people. Father, let faith rise in their hearts. Hallelujah. If there's anybody here that says, I don't know Christ and I want to give my life to him, I want to pray for you tonight. If that's you and you say, I want to give my life to Christ, I need him. I need him to take my life. I need forgiveness. I need to receive him as my Savior. Just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Is anybody here?